Dave, Carol, thank you. And appreciate the good work of the choir and instrumentalist Brother Gary and the revivalist week. The music was great. Now turning your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, 1 Timothy 5. Page 1277 in your Cotton Patch version, I mean your Schofield Reference edition. 1 Timothy 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless us tonight. Father, we thank you for the gracious revival that you have just permitted us, Lord, to go through. Thank you for leading Brother Hatch here and the good spirit we felt Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and the souls that were saved this morning and on visitation yesterday. And Lord, you were good to us. You blessed us. And thank you, Lord, that you're continuing to use Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church as a soul-saving station. And Lord, I pray for each one this morning that came forward, Lord, the couple and Val and the others, Lord, that got saved. Lord, they're going to need your help. Would you be real to them and give them victory and see them through to Lord, don't let the devil defeat them, I pray. May they go on with the Lord. Bless Brother Hatch tonight down in Morristown as he goes up then as he goes up into Ohio. And bless us here tonight. And then God give us a great day next Sunday. May our people have a mind to work. May they believe God. May they do something big for God this week on their buses and in the Sunday school classes. And just give us a gracious day next Sunday, your power, your blessing upon us. Now help me as I preach tonight, and Lord, meet needs, and Lord, there's a great crowd, and Lord, I need your help as I try to preach to them. We all have needs, and may needs be met in the Word of God, through the Son of God, by the Holy Spirit of God tonight, and defeat the devil and get glory to yourself. Make it easy for people, Lord, to get situations corrected in their lives and get help from the Lord and be built up, and maybe some need to get right with thee and get saved tonight. Lord, you take care of these situations, I pray. And now help me, Lord, and give me liberty and freedom, and we'll thank you. Lord, defeat the devil and hindering spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. The Apostle Paul gave the young pastor Timothy this personal charge in verses 21 to 23. I went over these last Sunday night. A fivefold charge in verse 21. He said, Timothy, be impartial. That is, be fair with people. Then in verse 22, he said, lay hands suddenly on no man. That is not talking about socking them in the nose. It's talking about don't be quick to ordain people to be a deacon or to be a preacher. Let them prove themselves first. And then in verse 22, he says that thou neither be partaker of other men's sins. In other words, don't yoke up with the wrong crowd. Watch your friends. And then also in verse 22, he says, keep thyself pure. Oh, what a great job every one of us have to keep ourselves pure. You ought to do that. Young ladies, keep yourself pure. If you lose your purity, I mean, you're a besmirched character. Keep yourself pure. And then in verse 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmity. Really, what Paul was telling him is just make sure you take your medicine. And so I felt led of the Lord to go back because I opened up a lot of thinking on verse 23 in my own heart and mind. And so there's some great truths involved in verse 23. They're very, very important. And immediately when you read verse 23, there are two questions that come to your mind. They come to my mind. And the first question, and this is not the most important question, but it's very important. And first is, why didn't Paul heal Timothy? Well, here's the great man with the greatest Christian who ever lived and had more of the power of God on him probably than any Christian in the church age. He had the gift of healing. Now, Paul said, Timothy, the great healer, man with the gift to heal, said, use a little wine for your stomach. Say, you're a sick man. Now, take a little wine. Take your medicine. And that the question certainly comes to our minds, why didn't this man with the power of God, why didn't he just lay his hands on him and heal Timothy? In the last half of the book of Acts, we saw that Paul certainly had the gift of healing. He did many mighty miracles. He healed the sick and he raised the dead. He cast out demons. But Paul couldn't heal himself, first of all. Did you know that? I mean, raising the dead and casting demons out, making the lame leap, be healed, and they'd leap with joy. He'd arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he had the great power of God to heal people, had the gift of the healing. But Paul couldn't heal himself. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, verse 7. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted, page 1239, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now notice this. Paul couldn't get rid of that thorn in the flesh, whatever it is. Some people think it's poor eyesight. I won't go into that tonight. This is not my message. This is a great message that I'll preach again sometime. But Paul in verse 8 said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul prayed three times. But the Lord said unto him in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, Paul, I'm not going to heal you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Paul said, I'm glad for my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, it's very self-evident there the many reasons Paul gives us, God gave him for why he didn't heal Paul. Our charismatic friends say if you don't get healed, it's one of two reasons. Either there's sin in your life, or it's lack of faith. I say capital H, hogwash on that. That is false doctrine. And the Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian of the last 2,000 years. He was a great man of faith. And now not only couldn't Paul heal himself, but Paul couldn't heal a lot of his dearest friends on the earth. Paul couldn't heal them. Look over to Epaphroditus. In Philippians, turn over to Philippians, the second chapter. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians, the second chapter. Verse 27. In verse 25, he calls him my brother, companion in labor, Epaphroditus. And then he ministered to my wants, Paul said. And you heard that he'd been sick. And look at verse 27. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, not on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And then down in verse 30, but for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. Here was a man that was nigh unto death. And Paul said, you heard about him being sick. Why didn't Paul go ahead and heal him when he got sick? Paul, why didn't you heal this assistant evangelist in your missionary endeavors? Don't you sort of think Paul would have healed him if he could have? Huh? Sure he would have. Look over back to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Now, folks, you better listen to me right here. Some of you right now are probably watching the 700 Club, and God help you if you don't have enough sense not to watch the PTL and these charismatic programs. You're going to get to thinking that you need an experience that's not taught in the Bible. you're going to get to thinking that, brother, that if you had faith, God would heal you of everything. Now that's why I don't encourage watching the 700 Club and the PTO Club and these other the charismatic programs and healing programs, because it's false doctrine. Right here I'm reading verses that prove it's false doctrine. I don't care what they say. Oral Roberts' brother said he didn't know of one authentic healing under Oral Roberts. Somebody said that the other day. I can't prove it. I'm just quoting what I heard. But now let me get back to Trophimus in 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth. 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Paul, why didn't you heal your assistant evangelist? And Paul, why did you a great man with a gift of healing, Paul, why did you leave a co-worker flat of his back sick back at Miletum? Paul, why didn't you go lay hands on him and claim for that demon of sickness to come out of him and be healed in the name of Jesus? Paul had to walk away from him with a broken heart. Now, was it sin in Paul's life that he couldn't heal him? Was it sin in Trophimus' life that he couldn't be healed? Was it lack of faith? Listen, you better listen to your preacher here now. You're going to be hunting you a charismatic church if you get swallow that healing doctrine, hook, line, and sinker. I believe God can heal, does heal, and he will heal in his own good time and according to his will. He doesn't always heal. Charismatics die just as much as Baptists do. Charismatics get sick just like Baptists do. They get the flu, they get cold just like we do. Now, God didn't heal him not because of his lack of faith or Paul's lack of faith or sin. Folks, it just wasn't God's will to heal Trophimus, and Paul had to leave him sick. And I've some of the greatest Christians I have ever known have been Christians who had to suffer a lot. And I've gone into homes of suffering saints where they had the joy of God on. And in their sickness, God was real to them. They didn't question God. Now let's go back to Timothy here in chapter 5, verse 23. In 1 Timothy 1, 2, Paul calls Timothy my own son in the faith. And then in 2 Timothy 1:12, he called Timothy my dearly beloved son. Paul had great affection for Timothy, for this young preacher. He was just like a son to Paul. But Timothy was, from verse 23 here, 5:23, he was a very sickly person. He had oft had infirmities, sicknesses, and illnesses. And I'm sure, don't you think Paul probably prayed much for Timothy? I believe he did. But God did not choose to heal him. God could have healed Timothy. God had power to heal Timothy. It was simply not God's will to heal Timothy. Now you better go by the word of God. And not somebody that's got up and said, oh, you need the gift of healing. Oh, you need this experience. And oh, just claim this. It's not, doesn't line up with the Word of God. Now, Brother Hatch preached on, I believe, Friday night, on why good people have to suffer bad things. Now, I won't go into this too in detail tonight, but let me give just quick three reasons why God does not always heal people, real quickly. Number one, it's just not always His will to heal people, and we need to yield to the will of God for our lives. Sometimes for reasons known only to God, He does not choose to heal us. And you better accept that. God can heal. When our men prayed for me, that God, when they went down in my heart, they'd find nothing. And I'm still offended that some of you would say, preacher, that must have been your head. I never will forgive some of you for saying that. But you know, while our men were praying, God didn't give me permission to pray right then and claim healing. I just said, Lord, if you want me to preach, if you want me to keep preaching, you're going to have to straighten the situation out. You're going to have to heal me. Lord, thy will be done. And I left it in the hand of God. And our men claimed healing, anointed me the Lord. And went down there, and there was nothing in my heart. And so I accepted God's will. I did pray for healing. And God saw fit to let it that be nothing there or heal me or whatever the situation was. But you know, this is sort of my introductory point to my main point tonight I'm on now. But I believe sort of God wants me to emphasize this. But let me just say this. God didn't heal Timothy because he had something better for him. And if God had healed Timothy, it might have been the worst thing in the world could happen to him. Listen, if you and I, if God would suddenly just say the word and do away with all the problems we have, and we'd never have another problem on the face of this earth, it'd be the worst thing in the world could happen to you and to me. Well, you wouldn't be worth shooting at sunrise if you didn't have a problem every now and then. Now, I don't want another problem in my life. I mean, I'm not a candidate for another problem. I'm not begging God for another problem. Now, if the Lord knows I need them to make me a better Christian, a better preacher, then I yield to God's will for my life if I need them. But I'm not begging them for it. But I thank God for every problem, every difficulty that I've had in these years I've been on this earth. In these 27 years I've been here as pastor. The problems. It's not big days that's helped me to be a good Christian. It's not big offerings and big attendances. It's when I had a problem and God saw me through and Jesus became sweeter to me. So be the worst thing ever happened to you if you never have any more problems. And God may allow that problem, that sickness in your life to make you a better Christian. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And through illnesses and problems, we learn you can depend on him and his grace is sufficient. But now the second question, and this is the thing that always comes to us, a question that comes to us when we read this, is Paul encouraging the use of strong drink? Now, as long as you don't get drunk now. Is that what Paul's teaching in that? A lot of people think so. A lot of liquor drinking, beer guzzling church members quote this verse as a cover up for their sin. It's their life's verse. I hear it quoted so much. But while they were loading up, I believe it was the first truck out here to go to Charleston. And I appreciate the way our people worked and got behind the trucks going to Charleston. And I believe it's going to help our church and be a blessing in the community for our church. But there was there's a loudmouth character that showed up out there. And he wanted to know if there's a preacher around there. That's what he said. Is there a preacher here? Who's a preacher? He's wanting a preacher. And then that loudmouth character, in front of everybody, as loud as you could hear him for a half a mile, he wanted to argue about that the Bible nowhere says that it's wrong to drink liquor, strong drink. And he said, now, the Bible doesn't teach that. He said, I've called a bunch of preachers up. And I just said, first of all, I tried to laugh him off because he's a loud, he wants everybody to hear him. And I said, well, the Bible just says, let him that's filthy be filthy still, but he wouldn't accept that. And he told me, he said, you're just not supposed to get drunk. And he had a loud, piercing mouth. You that out there heard it. But listen, I want to tell you this, that's a lie straight from Satan. It's straight from the charred pits of hell that the Bible teaches you can drink, just don't get drunk. A man who talks like that knows nothing of the leadership of God's Spirit. And that man, after talking with him, just arguing with him over this thing for about 5-10 minutes out there, I doubt if that man knows anything of the grace of God. I doubt if he's ever been born again. And I tried to give him a few verses, but he had a closed mind. And don't turn to it. Let me just turn to one verse. One verse. You just listen. Proverbs 23. Verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red. That is, wine, as a grape juice can be called wine, when it becomes fermented and has an alcohol content, it's wine, and when it deteriorates into vinegar, it's still wine. Wine, from the very first when it gets comes from the vine till it's deteriorated into vinegar. It's still wine. And the Bible here says now when it becomes red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, that is when it becomes intoxicating and fermented and has an alcoholic content, look not on it. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. So the Bible in other places too. And let's go back now to Timothy here. And look in the verse 23. We see from this verse that Timothy was a teetotaler. Boy, he's on the wagon. He wouldn't touch strong drink. Paul said, Timothy, drink no longer water. If you have a Scofield reference Bible, look at that little center column P there. It says, drink no longer water only. Timothy was sick, and he wouldn't touch that stuff. He was just drinking water. He wouldn't touch anything that had alcoholic content to it. And so Paul's saying, Timothy, now use a little wine. That is a teaspoonful or two. Not, he didn't say, Timothy, go out and get you a fifth of liquor. Go out and get you a pint of liquor. He said, Timothy, just to use a little for your stomach's sake and thine often infirmity. Now, folks, any fool ought to see that Paul is not encouraging social or drinking in moderation. He just said use a little for medicinal purposes. And there's nothing wrong with using alcohol when you get it in medicinal form down at the pharmacy and not down at the liquor store. There's a big difference in where you get it, for the purpose. Now, this loud-mouthed man that's standing out there at that truck, he bragged about going out with a friend of his that he is trying to get to church. And he said, that man said, do you mind if I get a beer? He said, no, you go right ahead. And he said, I paid for the bill. And that man came to church about a month later. And he thought he had done something good for him. And I want to announce this congregation that I'm for getting people saved. You know that. But I'm for getting people saved as much as anybody. But a man will die and go to hell if he's waiting on me to buy him a bottle of liquor or a bottle of beer in order to get him to church and try to get him saved. Now, God doesn't do business like that. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to win somebody to Jesus. You go God's way, and God says it's never right to do wrong. Avoid all appearance of evil. You win souls God's way. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. I learned that you can't win people by getting down the hog pen and waddling around with them. I learned that a long time ago, back when I played football down in Mississippi. The boys said, Soddy, they call me Soddy, it was a nickname, some of them did, because we're my hometown. They said, Soddy, there's a bunch of, and I like these fellows. I have some friends that not close friends, but they're good to me, and I'm friendly to them, who drink. I'm not against drunkards. I'm against the demon of drink. And these are fine fellows. We had a good football team, and we worked together good. And I never would go around with them when they're partying, though. They said, Soddy, you come and go with us tonight. It's on Saturday night. Round a few of the joints we're going to, and we'll go to church with you in the morning. I was 19 years old, and I thought, well, that sounds okay. So I went out with them, and they got all of them, got their bottle of beer, and sat there. And there I was sitting there, the Pepsi Cola. And they'd drink a little while one place. They hit two or three spots that night. Thought they really had it. They clashed and carried on, had a big time, they thought. And I thought, well, now in the morning they're going to go to church with me. And not a one of those sorry rascals rolled out of the bed the next morning to go to church with me. Now, I was young, and I learned, it taught me a lesson. You can't compromise with sin in order to win somebody to Jesus now. You can't do it. God doesn't want us to wallow around in sin to win sinners. We can't do it. That's not the way you win people to Jesus Christ. Brother, beverage alcohol is still America's number one drug problem. You hear about cocaine, marijuana, all that. Liquor drinking. Alcohol is still America's number one drug problem. There are 26 million alcoholics or problem drinkers in America tonight. 26 million. Think of all the heartache and woe and problems spread across this country because of strong drink. $55 billion was spent on alcoholic beverages by Americans last year. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. 64% of all deaths on our highways and streets can be laid at the doorstep of alcoholic beverages. On the average weekend night, not on the weekend night, 1 out of 10 drivers you meet on the highway is a drunk driver. That's sort of scary, isn't it? 80% of all suicides, 72% of all robberies, 86% of all murders, 65% of child abuse is the result of the demon of beer, liquor, and wine. Brother, I don't see how any thinking, God-fearing person who has as much sense as God gave a goose could use or endorse the use of that slop. As Dr. Hatch would say, thank you. Thank you. I want everyone to know that I'm against liquor drinking. I'm against beer guzzling with every ounce of strength that I have in my body. I am against it. I want you to know that if you don't know it. And no man of God, if a man's a man of God, he's against it with every ounce of strength he has in his being. And if he's not, he's not a man of God. And I'm going to preach against beer, liquor, and wine in any form, fashion, any way you cut it. I'm against it. Anyway, as long as I have life in my body, and when I like what Brother Hatch said, if I'm around here when I die, honey, I want you to put me right here in a casket. And if the Lord would give me permission, I'd raise up in my casket, brother, right there and preach another sermon against liquor, beer, and wine. That's how much I'm against it. Now, nobody can tell me about drunks. You don't have to come around and tell me about drunks. I know I grew up around. I was raised around. I've seen them stagger down the road, and I said, boy, see them coming down the hill. You don't see that much anymore. Brother, I saw it all the time when I was a boy. They'd go up behind the coal cubbins where they'd buy that moonshine. Here they'd come back down the hill. And as soon as I was a boy, I'd look up, walk up, go to the store with my mom. There'd be a drunk laying in the ditch, laying there, dog drunk, lying there in his vomit, passed out. When I played football down in Mississippi, those boys would get drunk, those football players would get drunk. One night, one boy, old Big N, come in, he was stark naked, come in there drunk as a whore, didn't know what, he didn't know, he might have been on Mars as far as he knew. Drunk, vomiting, come over and woke me up and said, "Preacher," they didn't call me preacher, he called me Soddy. He said, "Soddy," he said, I'm not a very bad boy, I'm a good boy, just carrying on. Listen, you can't tell me what anything about it. I'm glad that no beer, liquor, or wine, bottle or can, has ever touched my mouth. I'm glad I can say that. Brother Hatch had to be delivered by God from the demon of drink. I'm glad God, he had to save me as a sinner, but I'm thankful he didn't have to deliver me from that slop. I'm thankful. I don't know the taste of that stuff. Now, I want to ask you this. Tell me, what have I missed? Huh? What have I missed? I missed a lot of headaches and heartaches, and I've missed a lot of woe, I've missed a wasted life, and a wrecked life. I've missed all that because I've stayed away from it. And listen, if you follow drink, you will follow the pathway to hell. Now, you are a number one fool to have anything to do with that stuff. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that." Well, you're in good company. The devil doesn't either. The devil doesn't either. If you mess around with that slop, and that's what it is. You say, "Preacher, I want to whip you." Do you think I'm going to let you scare me? Listen, I bumped up against all Americans on the football field. You think I'm going to be afraid to preach against whiskey because you're going to whip me? Listen, if it killed me, I'd still preach against whiskey and beer and wine. Well, I don't ask anybody's permission. I'm just going to preach. And you have to decide what you're going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand up here and preach what God wants me to preach. If my head has to roll, let her roll. Let her roll. But I'm not, nobody's going to threaten me to keep me from quit and tell me I have to quit preaching against it. I mean, I'll preach against it if I had to put a 38 there and a 30-06 on this side. I mean, in some areas, preachers are threatened when they preach like this. But I want you to know that I've walked away from fights ever since I've been here. Had not if I've walked away from them. But now listen, I'm not going to walk away from this fight. I'm going to preach against liquor in this pulpit. I mean, this pulpit's 1,000% against it. I said last Sunday night, now I've never known the taste of it. But I said last Sunday night, when I was a toddler in diapers, my grandmother Lashley, she was a saint of God, and I don't agree with this, but back in those days, the doctors would say, "Get you a little whiskey and rock candy." Some of you may remember how that sometimes the doctors do that. And when I was just a little toddler, old Preacher Lashley was a little boy. You know, I was a little small toddler one day, about that high. You wouldn't believe that, would you? But they said I'd go in and stick my finger in that moonshine and whiskey and that rock candy and suck on it. Brother Jack Mosier, he's not here tonight, but he hurt my feelings last Sunday night. He's out as I leave, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "how long did you say you sucked your thumb?" He said, "Did you say you sucked your thumb till you were in the third grade?" He said, "Now we know why you sucked your thumb till you were in the third grade. But I want you to know that I didn't stick my thumb in that whiskey and rock candy. It's my finger." But now listen to me, folks. Let me give you some of the best advice you've ever had. Make up your mind tonight. There's a good crowd. This is a great crowd. And I appreciate you. And listen, you need to hear a preacher. You need to hear this kind of preaching. I mean, a lot of preachers wouldn't. In fact, most preachers across America wouldn't preach this way. This is a Bible-believing church, and I'm a Bible-believing preacher, and that's what ought to be preached by a Bible in a Bible-believing church by a Bible-believing preacher. But listen, make up your mind that you'll never touch beer, liquor, or wine the rest of your days on this earth. If you have never done it, you ought to make up your mind. If you don't, the devil will get you somewhere. Young people, listen to me. Don't talk now. Don't talk. Listen, this is important. Make up your mind. If you don't make up your mind that you're not going to drink that stuff, you'll drink somewhere along. And you girls do it too. You get in the sorority house where those sorority chicks are drinking, and before you know it, you'll want to be a cool cat, a cool chick like they are. You'll be drinking that filth. Before you know it, brother, your character will be ruined. And boys, I'm getting worked up bad on this tonight. Bad, bad, bad. I mean, I'm ready to fight the devil with a stick tonight. But make up your mind, you're not going to drink that stuff. Make up, I ain't even looked at my, I hid behind my water. This is water, and that's not. I don't have power to turn the water into wine, so it's far, unless Bob or one of them that brought it up here spiked it, that's just plain water there. But anyway, make up your mind you're not going to touch that stuff. And then if you are tonight in this crowd, there's probably some here that you're drinking beer, liquor, and wine. Probably some in this crowd. I'd say, I don't know but one. Let's do it. I don't know one. If you're drinking it, if you right now you're sipping through the week and can't come to this church, I love you and I'll be your friend. But I want to warn you to drop that stuff. Drop that drinking. Stop it tonight before it destroys you. Did you know that one out of every three people that start drinking become an alcoholic or a problem drinker? And you don't know, you might, if you keep up your drinking, you might become a problem drinker, an alcoholic. That'd be terrible. Then third, if liquor does have you tonight, I don't know if anybody's under control of liquor. I don't know if they do. I don't know it. I mean, I'd preach it. If I knew it, I'd still preach what I'm saying because it's true. But if liquor has got you in its clutches tonight, only the power of God can deliver you from the clutches of Satan that he's got you tonight. You might say, well, I'm going down to AA. 99.9% out of 100, it won't help you. And you might go to the detox center and you're probably wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Brother Hatch said he made good resolutions all the time to quit. That's good, but it won't work. Only the power of God can deliver you from your drink habit tonight and set you free. And if you will come to Jesus, the blood of God's dear Son can set you free and cleanse you from A-double-L all sin. The Bible says if the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. And I'm glad there's victory in Jesus. Brother Hatch stood here this morning. is a living testimony that God can deliver from drugs and God can deliver from drink. And only the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ can give you the victory over any sin that holds you in its sway. Now, as I said, there's probably very few, if any, I don't know of any, that have having a real problem with strong drink. Now, you may, but God, if you are having a problem, you ought to come this altar tonight and get on your knees and ask God for victory tonight through the name of Jesus. But probably most of you, that's not your problem. I realize that. But you have problems and temptations that you can't handle. But I want you to know, there's victory for every need we have in this life in Jesus Christ. He is the answer. Give him a chance. There's victory in Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. There's victory in the name of Christ. There's power in the name of Christ to set you free. If you'll humble yourself before God and call on the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come in and break the power of canceled sin in your life and set you free, and you'll be free indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might think you're in bondage if you're saved. No, you're free. If you're not saved tonight, you're in bondage. You're a slave to sin. You're a slave to sin. And if you'll come to Jesus, he'll set you free. And you'll be a free. You'll walk out of here free as a bird in Christ Jesus, free from the sin, curse of sin, free from the power of sin. And one day, hallelujah, when Jesus comes back, you'll be free forever from the presence of sin. I hardly know how to give an invitation. But tonight, if there's any need in your life that you need God's help, you ought to come to this altar. Whatever it is. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to join the church. Maybe you just need to come to pray tonight. There's a problem you face and you need God's help. You need God's help. You ought to slip out and come down to this altar tonight and find victory in Christ. And maybe there's a need you face. You say, preacher, I need God's help. I must have God's help. Maybe there's a problem in the home. You ought to come down and get on your knees tonight and get this thing settled. Turn it over to the Lord. Get help from the Lord. Let's just sing, Brother Gary, with heads bowed and eyes, all to Jesus I surrender. And if there is a need in your life, come talk to Jesus about it tonight, right now. Let's let him have his way in our hearts and life. You'll never regret letting Jesus have his way in your life. Come on, as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender. Oh.
Pam's having surgery Wednesday morning. Why don't five or six of you ladies just come down here and pray with Pam about this? Five or six or seven ladies. Just some of you come around. Come right ahead, ladies. Just come and kneel around Pam here. And let's ask God to bless Pam. Just five. Come on, slip around a few more. Okay. Just kneel. Let's pray for Pam. God would help her as she faces this. And if the altar's open, if anyone else tonight, you say, preacher, there's a need in my life. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Come on right now. Come on, just what number is it, brother? 310. Let's stand and sing 310. What verse we sing? The third verse. Won't you come?
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'd like for every young person under 25 years of age. You'll say, preacher, I want to make a vow before God. I know what you're preaching is true tonight. And it is true, young people. I'll assure you it's true. Every word I say is true. And you want to make a vow tonight before God. Every young person from the age of school age on up to 25, you'll say, I want to make a vow before God that as long as I live on this earth, I'll not touch a drop of beer, liquor, or wine. Every school age young person, first grade through college and on up to 25, if you'll make that vow before God, you may have made it before, I want you to make it public again tonight to reconfirm it. Just come down, stand right in front of you. If you'll make that vow before God, just move right out. You promise God with his help, you'll determine you're never going to touch that stuff. Amen. And it's a great crowd. Amen. 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 Now let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Some of you have children here. Parents out here, these children, most of them have a parent out here. But let's pray for each one of them right now. Parents, pray for your children that God would help them. It's not easy. They're going to be inundated all the time with everywhere they turn with somebody wanting them to go get a drink. Come on, let's go get a party. Let's get her. They're going to be facing this. So young people, say no, and God will bless you. Just determine, I'm not going to do it. If I lose every friend I've got, I'm not going to drink that stuff. And God will bless you, and you're better off. You're better off. You come back 5, 10 years and you find out. Look for that drinking crowd. They're gonna have a life of woe and heartache. Their marriage is gonna be tore all to pieces. You'll be better off never touch that stuff. Beer, liquor, wine. Have nothing to do with it. Just make that vow to God. Let's bow our head. Brother Gary, why don't you just step up the mic there and just pray. Ask God to bless them and help them to keep this vow.
Our dear Heavenly Father God, you look at these young people here. There's so much potential here. And yet, God, I'm afraid down the road, some of them, Lord, may be shipwrecked. God, won't you help them, I pray, to have victory over the bottle, Lord, over drink. God, oh, protect them. There'll be pressure all around them to drink and to do wrong and to get the wrong crowd. And, oh, God, won't you have your protecting hand upon them? Lord, 10 years from now, we don't want to look back and see lives that had so much potential be ruined. And Lord, we know if they follow the path of the bottle and of alcohol, Lord, that they'll ruin their lives. And God, won't you just work in their hearts and lives? Boy, we just want to see them go on for you and live for you and give their lives for you. And God, they need your help. Lord, this is a tough battle for them. Lord, some of them may have already been involved. They need to break free from it. God, won't you help them? Lord, give them victory, Lord, beyond themselves. God, they can't do it on their own. And Lord, we just beg you and plead with you, Lord, tonight to give them victory that they might be able to go on and serve you, Lord. Oh, how we want to see preachers and missionaries and servants of yours out of this group. And God, if they go the way of the bottle, they won't do that. So God, won't you watch over them? Won't you protect them? God, keep these people pure. Keep them holy. God, help them to have victory over the bottle and over alcohol, we pray. Give them strength beyond their own, in Jesus' name.
Just keep your heads bowed and eyes, because young people, if right now, if you've never touched that stuff, just make a determination you're never going to touch it. Now, if you have been drinking, you ought to ask the Lord to forgive you now. Ask the Lord to forgive you, young people. If you've been drinking beer, liquor, wine, just ask God to forgive you and make that vow right now. Lord, I'll never touch it again. Never touch it. If you don't, you're going to be a problem drinker and alcoholic. There's at least a third, one out of three chance you are. And we don't want you to get involved.